Triple M's ruined its for breakfast. For Adelaide Tools, end of financial year sales on now. Mile End, Paraka, St Mary's, Lonsdale and Gawler.
Oh, g'day, Roo. Thursday morning already. How are you?
I'm very good, Dits, actually. Looking forward to today and looking forward to a long weekend coming up.
Yes. Yeah, huge. Starts tomorrow for us. So we're actually having having Friday off. So, yeah, long
well,
weekend.
Well, we got told to take Friday off.
It's a lot of,
a lot of people out there in the workplace.
Yes,
you got to take some time off and, stop getting paid, basically, just to make the balance sheet look a little bit better.
Yeah, so... The WAG's off today. People are being told to take holidays. But, well, again, they're the times we're in.
What did you say?
The WAG's off. She's not here today. Didn't you notice?
Wouldn't have missed her.
Oh,
did
what?
Not even miss her.
I don't.
No, we're getting all the texts about the Alison Mel show. Do you reckon we'll cope without her?
I'm pretty sure. Although Mel has just pointed out, she does make us coffees all morning. There'll be no coffee.
Yeah, but we got a lackey in today to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
I hope you ask us soon.
What's coming up on the show, Rudy?
Big show. Rudy Vanderstone joins us today. We love Rudy. He's going to, I think he's having a crack at The Voice today.
Oh, so, that'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, pick on some poor, innocent people trying to make a career. That'll be good. Mick Molloy's going to join us later on in the show if we get him out of bed at 8:40. We're going to have a chat to Greg Phillips. We'll track him down. He's been inducted into the Hall of Fame, and quite rightly so. What a record he's got, and what a bloke he is too.
Yep, he'll be a lot of fun, actually.
Got stuck drinking beers with him one day out of total accident.
Well, that was a mistake.
Well, he was doing it. He was a delivery driver. He just called into the Alma out of the blue at about 1 o'clock one day, on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I don't drink during the week generally, and I just thought I'd be nice. I said, "Want a beer, Greg?"
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I might as well. I reckon he had 9 pints and then left. And I was just in a mess in the corner of the hour with no one there on a Wednesday. He's off work. Ken Eastinkham, Greg Phillips. And we'll cover all the recession and the building grants. There's a fair bit of news around.
That's looking good, actually. Yeah, there's a fair bit up for grabs, I think. You mentioned this, or you dropped it a few days ago. Hey, and as always, with our brand new text line, please let us know what you think on anything. The number is 0488851047. Ruined It's on Triple M. 609 Ruined It's here on Triple M. Already had one message through, Roo. Brad from Modbury says, "No, Alice, I'm turning off."
No Alice, no show.
Oh, apparently.
Go on. Well, maybe we do need it back then.
Ruin Dits. Top three things you need to know.
Righto, making news. We're told now we're in a recession, Roo.
Yes.
And I thought, oh my God, shock, horror. What does it mean? Are we all going broke or whatever? And then I Googled, because I had heard this before, I Googled, what is a recession? And you know the answer to this. What is it?
Well, it's a contraction, is that the right word, of the economy for 2 quarters in a row. So for 6 months of negative growth. Which means we're going backwards. Everyone's going to be less wealthy.
Yeah, but what if it's only by 1%? Or what if it's only a minus? You still go backwards. I mean,
yeah, but it doesn't mean everyone's going to be... Well, it is for people who lose their jobs, Dids. It's going to
No, I know that. But hang on.
That's what happens in a recession.
Yeah, but if you lose your job and it's not a recession, it's drastic for them anytime. I'm talking about the recession as a whole. If you say, oh, for 2 quarters, there was GDP stayed the same or slightly went backwards. I'm just saying it doesn't mean we're in
Doesn't mean everyone's stuff, but what it means is you're going to have double digit unemployment. So there's going to be, probably millions of people unemployed in Australia and underemployed. It's going to be tougher to survive.
All right.
I think it's bad.
No, I'm not saying it's good, don't think it's doom and gloom and. Hell, the whole place is shutting down.
Yeah, but what people do is they start not spending money, and this is what Craig James said from CommSec.
This is not a typical recession. Usually in the past, it's caused by economic events. We've either lifted interest rates too high or made some sort of policy mistakes, and the economy has contracted. Yeah, so but this time around, it's going to be very, very brief. So we've had just a very modest decline in the first quarter, 0.3%. We are going to have a more significant decline in the June quarter. The expectation is we'll be down around about 8.5%. So that's a huge fall. But, of course, that was expected.
So it is going to get worse, but he's saying hopefully we'll bounce out. Because
moderate decline, he said.
Yes, next quarter will be a lot worse. 29 years we haven't had a recession. It's a world record. It's a world record Australia has broken. It was 26 years, the last world record from the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We're good at something. Yeah. Good at staying with a bit of cash in our pockets.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've always been interested in the Madeleine McCann case because she's never, ever been found. This is the little three-year-old British girl who went missing in Portugal. Her parents and she was away on a family holiday and went missing. Over the time, there have been different suspects along the way, but however, Scotland Yard has announced they're actually excited at the moment. They think, or they believe, they've got a real prime suspect. So hopefully this case will be shut.
Where's the suspect from?
German fella who's actually in prison at the moment for an unrelated matter, obviously unrelated.
Right.
They've pieced it all together. They've looked at phone records and all sorts of things, but they're very confident.
Sound confident?
They do sound confident, so let's hope they can finally crack that case. Way over 10 years.
Yeah, it'd be good for the family, that one. Adelaide Uni, the university, we know that they've been, basically been shut the whole time through coronavirus. No students about to come here from overseas. That's one of our biggest drivers of our economy, all the people that come over from Asia. $250 million hole in their budget.
What?
Massive amount of money.
Don't they teach maths at uni?
Well, I think that's how they worked out their $250 million in the red. Don't worry, they got the rubber out and said, do that again, please.
Right,
dude.
Well, can I just point out the irony here? How can you end up with a $250 million hole? The person doing the accounts, he or she would have gone to university as well.
But
they didn't pay attention.
None of those people in Nostradamus, didn't predict the coronavirus happening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, all those mathematicians and scientists and
all the boffins.
Now they're all scratching their head because they're using their math skills to realise that they're going to have to take pay cuts and might lose their jobs and everything. Nothing pretty I'm hearing a lot of places in very, very, very bad financial trouble out there because of this virus, and that'll come out over the next few months in this recession, Dits.
All right, that's what's making news.
Oh, hang on.
You got one more. Okay.
I heard this on the news last night. This is funny. There's two blokes who stabbed Tony Mockbell, who's one of the biggest drug bosses in Australia.
Underbelly.
Yep, Underbelly fame. Stabbed him 7 times, 9 times, whatever. Listen to the judge give these two young punks a spray.
You may think you're heroes within the jail, but do you think in 20 years' time that's going to matter? When you're out on the street desperately trying to score and nowhere to live, you'll have 6 kids by 6 different mothers. And if you're still using, you'll probably assault them. There'll be kids you never see. Let me tell you, gentlemen, in a few years, GFAM and the bros are not going to do it for you. Nowhere to sleep because everyone's sick of you, because you burned everyone off, and all your GFAM brains are scattered dead or in jail somewhere. The only reason you are getting any attention is because it was Tony Mockbell.
Brilliant.
GFAN is the gang, the jail gang. So good old-fashioned
spray. She is now a national hero, that woman. She should run the country. That's brilliant.
Go around the nation today with that spray. Bloody dickheads.
Why, how good she? I haven't heard that before. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, we'll play it again today because I thought it was a good old-fashioned spray by the judge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you are not allowed to talk to people that way anymore. Well, good on her.
Well, you are when you're the judge.
Yeah.
With the woolly hat on.
I like it.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Hey, just a reminder, we've got the text line. It's open. What's the phone number, Roo?
0488851047.
Okay. Said with a bit of zing there. Statman. Statman's coming up next. We'll get to that shortly. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, I'm absolutely pumped about this announcement because no matter whether you're barracked for Port Adelaide or not, I think this is one of the players that everyone loved because he was big and tough but fair and just played so many games and always with a smile on his face and always a character. And as I say, I think he's much loved. Over 400 senior games of footy, Port Adelaide and Collingwood. Greg Phillips, good morning. Congratulations.
Thanks, Ditz. Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Roo.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you to now be inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame?
Oh, dude, it's pretty hard to explain the feeling. You know, my career has even been inducted in just to come over from the country to play with Port and then to play a few state games and go to Collingwood and then, to finish off in 92 as a captain in a premiership year. I was just over the moon and rat that I had a, you know, probably an injury free and just a good run and met so many champions on the way and, you know, so many great players at Port Adelaide, whether it be 1976 onwards from, you know, till I finished. So it's just been a, it's been a fantastic ride. It's been absolutely unbelievable.
I think we might include Modest in your resume a little bit here. You said a few state games. You played 20. I don't think many people played more than that. You said you won a premiership. You won 8. And over 400 games. Unbelievable stuff. Do you remember still what it was like when you were a kid, when you left the farm and come over to Port Adelaide? Explain the feeling of walking into a, you know, the biggest football club in South Australia and maybe Australia at the time. What was it like?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, you know. Typical country kid, you know. Probably the only time we'd come to Adelaide maybe might have been in the show with Mum and Dad. It was all just exciting, you know, to see all the lights and the traffic with it. You know, in the town about 300 minutes of this. So, you know, you come to Adelaide as a kid and think, oh, my God, what a place. You know, who could live here? You know, so I thought, couldn't wait to get back to the bush. But when I sort of got here, it was I actually went to Port Lincoln and went to the high school there and was playing football for Lincoln South. And
won the best and fairest at 16. I'll just chuck that in.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, so, yeah, I made a lot of friends there. But, yeah, to come here and, you know, to have the first when we'd done a pre-season, it was just unbelievable to see, like, back in the 76, like Bruce Lighting, Maxie James, Randall Gerlach, you know, because Russell Ebert and Frank Mendy, all these legends that at Port Adelaide, I was just a nervous kid, just running around, you know, just more butterflies than ever. You know, it was just a, as a kid, you sort of grew up listening to the radio there because didn't have reception of any TV. But it was like, God, this is unbelievable. You know, I hope I can at least play, you know, a few games. Your dream was to play actually one game, you know, like I. And it was just a buzz, and I come over and actually, and I was working on the. I got a job at the Cheltenham at Racecourse actually while I was here, so that felt like I was in the country with a bit of open ground and you know, cutting lawns and that sort of thing. So that made it a little bit easier. But look, I was just totally excited, just a really excited kid, and you know, and I met guys like Tony Giles as we mate, and he helped me. He was really good. He helped me right through that as a kid for sure.
Greg, there's so many stories. Let's fast forward a little bit, but there are so many I can ask you about. Some of them may be folklore, but is it true that you ran out one day and your hero was Rick Davies and you were playing against Sturt and you asked him for his autograph? Is that true or not?
No, I didn't ask for his autograph, but I was pretty amazed at it. And him and Paul Bagshaw, because I bagged with Sturt. Actually, my cousin Neville Phillips, he was a mad Sturt as well. And we're running out, you know, there's Baggy, there's Rick Davies, you know, like, and I said, well, you're on Baggy, Neville, good luck, you know.
Go and stop him.
But no, Rick was quite a card. I sort of end up being real good mates with Rick Davies, and everyone's a mate with Rick. Mm. But he used to have a joke on the ground and, yeah, you're right. He was a good bloke to stand.
All right. What about you had the lighthouse in the port? You had the pub down there, and again, it might be folklore, but did you squeeze any a few butchers in or a couple of pints before you'd go down to Albert?
Well, while he was on the job,
yeah.
No, not the day before. Maybe on a Thursday night. Maybe he might have had a couple on the happy hour. So, but it was I did go to the Albert in the hotel one training night. I took Timmy Kinnear and Anthony Williams and. That was a bit of a funny. We ended up being there about 3 hours, and training was only meant to go for an hour. We had to go out in threes and do whatever we want. So I took those two to the pub and ended up getting back about 3 hours. Jim Nitschke, our team manager, thought we trained really well. I told him that we ran to Outer Harbour and back, but it was only 400 yards down the road.
All right, now just before we let you go, what about the story? I don't know if you want to tell it, but you're in charge of the trip fund, the end of season trip for Collingwood Football Club. Do you want to tell that story or not?
Oh, yeah. There was a couple of us joined in there, a couple of other, Ricky Barham and Tony Shores, and that. We had the money. We didn't have enough money to go anywhere. And I said, well, we can back ourselves on the table on the last game against Carlton. You know, we can at least double our money. So, you know, we had plans to go overseas and everything. So I think we had to put all our money on the loss, and then we had to... we got nothing, so we had to put in a dig into our pockets, and instead of going overseas, we went to Port Lincoln, so nearly overseas. So.
Hey, that would have been a better trip anyway. You would have hosted them over there. They would have had a whale of a time.
I can tell you that. That was exactly right, mate. They had the best time. They said that was one of the best trips they had. So I think Port Lincoln's still getting over it. Anyway,
Greg, so. Congratulations, mate. You've achieved so much, and hopefully this is the icing on the cake. And by the way, there's a great photo going around of you and Erin. I don't know how old she is, but she's got her front teeth missing. She's a little baby, a little girl. And it's a ripper photo, and you've got to be so proud of that part of your life as well. So well done. You've achieved so
thanks,
much.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks for everything.
Good on you, Greg.
Greg Phillips.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Rudy.
What a player, Rudy.
Oh, what a bloke.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Well, he should be nice and refreshed today because he had the week off
last
week.
Yeah, he had a conference last week, a plumbing conference, but we played his top 10 sledges. And Rudy, that was unbelievable listening.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning to you, Dits, and to you, Roo, and everybody listening in Adelaide on Triple M. I was at the plumbing conference and people were saying, you know, they've got your top 10 on Triple M Adelaide, and I thought, geez, they must be hard up for content because all they do is replay this little Dutch plumbing TV review. But, I was touched.
Who are you reviewing today, Rudy?
Well, The Voice is back for 2020, and nothing has changed. This is awful. It beggars belief that people want to watch this talent quest, let alone sit their families in front of this whole deplorable contravention of human rights. It's a disgrace. Let's go through the judges. Guy Sebastian is back because Channel 9 couldn't find another Australian never was prepared to waste 6 weeks of their life training hopeful never will be's. This year, Guy has decided to make himself cooler, saying things like, oh, I've got to see this, or I want a piece of the action, while slapping a red button that will turn his chair around not to a better place, just so he's confronted with his own bleak reality. He's a singing instructor on a TV show.
Oh, he's from Adelaide.
Come on,
Rudy.
He's a good Adelaide boy.
Now, back again this year is Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child. Now, of course, she prefers Australia to the USA because this is a country where not everything's on fire and she has less chance of being shot or asphyxiated by a police person.
True. Unfortunately.
You may have heard that she was on Moon Man in the Morning in Sydney talking about vibrators and dildos.
What? Really?
What?
Yes, it was. She was talking about finding a toy called the Intensifier, and she'd sent somebody out on social media asking people whether they had one and whether she could try it. That's right. She's talking about using somebody else's pre-loved dildo.
Oh, no. How rough are you going if you're going to get a second hand?
No.
What about the hygiene? You know, you could afford one for every room in the house, Kelly, with your dollars. Now, she's sitting on The Voice with her girls out. That's why Ditz is watching it. And if knockers equal good mentoring, then she could give the Dalai Lama a life coaching lesson. Put something on, woman. Now, I'll leave Delta Goodrum out of this year's Voice review.
Untouchable.
Because I couldn't be bothered wasting an insult on
him.
And that brings us to Boy George. Yes, a genuine pop star and a great talent, but a man who couldn't look more disinterested. The amount of makeup, as I said last year, the amount of makeup can't hide his disdain for his fellow judges or the contestants. He's grumpy. I can't look at Boy George without remembering in 2008 he was convicted of falsely imprisoning a man by handcuffing him to a plumbing fixture and then traumatising him.
Bad boy.
No. Karma, chameleon indeed. You've got what you deserve. And wind back the hats too. You look like Dr. Zeus's cat in a hat.
He does.
Now this year, a very old, grumpy, gay cat in a hat. This year, the blind auditions continued, and I've got to say, Ditz, it's the most interesting part of the show.
Yeah.
One of the highlights this year was the Mongolian called Berku Ganbergad, who wowed the crowd with his throat singing. Jesus. That's not an instrument. That's a man's voice.
Really?
Yeah, that's a throat singing. Now listen to the crowd going crazy for Buku Ganbergen. I tell you what, Buku, you're not getting me rushing down to Sanity to get your new single, that's for sure.
How long does he do that for?
Too long. I tell you what, sounded like an animal that had been caught in a snare with the kazoo jammed down his throat. I don't care whether it's cultural. It's awful. No wonder Mongolians going nowhere quickly. Now, have you ever been to Mongolia, anyone?
No. Not long.
No, that's right. Not if that's the sound of creature at the airport, that's for sure. The Voice is actually a zombie singing contest where the walking dead of careers long since perished try and feed on the brains of the potentially young and mildly talented. It's horrifying and makes me want to take my own head off with a shovel. When those chairs spin around, I hope they keep spinning all the way down to China and we never see you again. I hate it. Goodbye.
How many stars?
0 stars. It's a black hole. It's dark matter.
Good on you, Rudy. Not a fan of The Voice. Rudy Vanderstone, Australia's harshest TV critic.
Ruined. It's on Triple M, thanks to Adelaide Tools. We're in recession.
We are in recession, Dits. They say it comes in threes, the bad things. We've had one of the worst droughts we've ever had. We've had the worst bushfires we've ever had. Mm. And we've had the worst virus we've ever had. It's been a tough year or so. Mm. And now we're heading into recession. What does it mean? Let's go to an expert, Danny McMahon from from Planning Forward Finance. How are you, Dan?
Good, thanks, Roo and Ditz. How are you both?
Yeah, good.
Well, Roo's just given us a big uplifting intro, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, it's a couple of consecutive quarters of negative growth is a recession. That's what it looks like being certain of after the quarter we're going to have this quarter. But I think Woodside's avoided it up here. We had a new Foodland opening yesterday. So
nice. Oh, a new supermarket.
Beautiful.
Yeah, new supermarket. So... but we haven't had a recession since the end of 1990, into 91. So it's been an envious record anyway. And I knew you'd appreciate this looking back in time, Bits. It was back when MC Hammer was top of the chart.
Right. MC Hammer, who's doing his best work. Good,
thanks for that. And, I've got all these albums. Topped,
yeah, 3,000 back then. So it's over 25,000 now. So it just goes to prove hanging there for the long haul. And also I did do a bit of research and Janshir Khan beat you in the 15-5 in 1990. Listen, so that was the last time we had a recession.
We're talking finance, all right, you idiot.
Sorry about that.
Now, is it really that bad? I disputed this with Roo earlier this morning that, you know, two quarters in a row, I mean, it's not that much doom and gloom, is it?
Well, as a footy game, you'd still be in it at half-time, Bits. So
all right.
I think, I do think it's just a word to an extent with that. It's not great, but the record we've had is fantastic. And because of the opening up and the coronavirus, it's been such a unique situation where I think you can't pay too much heed to that. There's been so much stimulus and so on to come out of it that, you know, I think we'll see how we come out of it in the next quarter after this one. But this one's going to be terrible, we know, because of the COVID-19 situation.
The positive, Dan, is that, I mean, people have spent less. They've spent 3.9% less, but they've actually saved 5.5% more. So people are squirreling away a little bit of money. So hopefully that means, you know, if they come into a little bit of trouble, they might have a few little cash reserves.
They are, and it's been to the detriment of some other industries, of course. I mean, there's been a lot of cruises, et cetera, being cancelled, and there's a lot of retirees with extra money from that point of view in the hip pocket, and stock markets have rebounded very well, not to the same levels, but probably a lot better than a lot of people have expected. So some people would be feeling okay about things compared to 2 months ago. So stock market's forward-looking, so that's rebounded. Well, theoretically predicting where we're going. So I guess to follow on from that, Dits, about your question before, you know, there is some reason to be optimistic out there, and the government has acted very quickly.
Hmm. All right.
What about the stock market? Like, America's just going up and up and up, and it's on more fire and fire and fire every day.
Yeah.
Things getting smashed. They just look 6 months ahead. Is that what you gets back for?
Yeah, America, especially with the companies they have, with the Microsoft, the Googles, and these mega companies around the world that have taken a lot of market share. And it's a bit of a pity here in Australia that if you sit and think about it, a lot of your money is going offshore to some of those companies, whether it's through your Netflix subscription, your iPhones, your Spotify, whatever. So they've got a concentration of companies that are doing very well and almost hoard the spending around the world. So, yeah, they are. It is, you know, they're pretty excited about opening up again. And look, with low interest rates and what governments are doing, it's like a drug to stock markets. And the problem is probably, you know, down the track about how that ends. But it's a real short term sugar hit.
Just before you go, Dan, there's going to be a few stimulus packages in terms of grants to get into houses and things like that. Do you tell people to tread a little bit careful with, you know, some of these incentives to get into, you know, big debt with a house? And then because you do actually have to pay it off one day, especially if interest rates go up.
Yeah, you do. Look, firstly, I don't think you qualify with the ALMA, Roo, but there's $25,000 that they've announced sort of last night, and you do have to be careful. You'd have to be also careful that I think it's from $150,000 up to $750,000 that they've announced, and it's probably every chance that $150,000 renovation will now cost you $175,000.
I reckon so, that might happen.
A bit cynical, but yeah, I think you do have to be careful because at the end of the day, if you're getting given $25,000 and you're spending $600,000, you know, it does pay to do the budgeting. So you do have to be careful.
We've had two interesting text messages come in saying this bloke can't be a financial advisor. He's got a sense of humour. And the other one says you could have picked any month over the last 15 years and Dits would have had a loss to one of the cons.
I must admit, the research, I didn't have to type in much to get that. Yeah. You have to have a sense of humour when markets move 13% in a night.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, good on you, Danny. Thanks for that advice.
Have a good day.
There he is, financial advisor from Planning Forward, Danny McMahon. And look, even if he gives you bad advice, you'll have a laugh.
Yeah, exactly right.
Go and see him.
Don't worry, I've had a punt with him on a Saturday. I've never had so much fun losing money.
You might remember a few days ago, Alice the Wag was out shopping, walking around one of the big shopping centres, and a fella approached her. Actually, let's hear Alice tell the story.
And I'm not making this up. You guys aren't going to believe me.
Oh, come on. Of course you wouldn't.
I just saw you walking through the shopping centre and I thought, wow, that is the most drop-dead gorgeous girl I've ever seen.
That is called blowing your own trumpet.
And he said, I'll never forgive myself if I didn't come up and ask you for your number.
So that was Alice telling her story the other day. Anyway, Roo and I, we got chatting about the fact that it takes a lot of courage to do that. And she bumped him off, the poor lad. A lot of courage to walk up in this day and age.
He'll probably never do it again.
He'll never come out of the house again.
No.
So we want to ask the metros next, how easy, how difficult is it to approach a nice young lady and ask her out, ask for her phone number. Ruined, it's on Triple M. 7:25 on Triple M, thanks to Adelaide Tools and their 5 great stores.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Righto, let's get the boys on. Nails is on the phone. He's still working from home with the sales team. How are you, Nails?
Yeah, well, thanks, Dits.
Any share tips this week?
I've got one pretty speculative one for you. It's called 3D Resources.
3D Resources.
And it's a gold mine in New South Wales, so a little bit closer to home.
Gold mine in
New South Wales. Gold is hot at the moment, right. Nails.
Have a look at that. Right. Nails, if you believe they've discovered gold, you've fallen for it. Righto, Flack is here. How are you, Flack?
Hello, boys.
From our production team. And Josh is back from the production team. How are you, mate?
Good, boys. How are you?
All right. Now, you've heard Alice's story. Can we play it just one more time, please? So Alice is out. Imagine walking through one of the big, big shopping centres in Adelaide and this happened.
And I'm not making this up. You guys aren't going to believe me.
Oh, come on. Of course you wouldn't.
I just saw you walking through the shopping centre and I thought, wow, that is the most drop-dead gorgeous girl I've ever seen.
That is called blowing your own trumpet.
And he said, I'll never forgive myself if I didn't come up and ask you for your number.
So Alice just walked off and left the poor bloke standing.
Now, lied. Says she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah. Now, it's very, very hard to, you know, muster up the courage, isn't it, Roo, to actually go up and do something like that.
Mate, I could not do it sober. I'd have a fair few drinks at a pub or a nightclub.
In fact, I can honestly say I've never, ever done it unless I knew the result was going to be positive.
What?
Well, say, for example, when I met Kate, I knew her sister had said to me.
What about when you were younger?
Ask my sister out. No, I always had to know that I wasn't going to be rejected. Do your homework. Do your homework first. This is my advice.
Fella.
Ask around. Ask her girlfriend.
Are you?
If you like that girl over there, you go up to a couple of her friends and say, do you reckon she likes me? And then if they give you the thumbs up.
You didn't play the sympathy option, did you?
No, but I just wondered if I got the thumbs up, then I'd go up and ask her out. But if they said, no, you got no hope, then I wouldn't do it.
What happens these days, Josh?
Right,
I love how Alice is not even here, but she still gets herself on air.
She cut up the audio for us yesterday.
No, it's the Alice and Mel show. If you follow the text line on 0488 51 0 47.
The Alice line.
The Alice line, sorry.
Yeah, I could never ask someone out sober. I can completely agree with your route there. I think it's different now because you've got all the online dating websites. So at least you know if you match with someone, they're somewhat interested in you. So,
but do you go up to people face to face anymore? Like young fellas, do you actually ever go up to a girl? Like,
never in a shopping centre. God, I would never do that. But maybe at a bar or at a club or something, you would. After a few beers, you'd probably be a bit more confident.
But that bloke thought, I don't know her name. I don't know her profile. I don't know where to track her down. This could be my future wife and she could get away from me. You wouldn't go, she's stunning. I need to talk to her.
Nah, I would try and find her on Instagram or something.
Yeah, how do you track her down if you don't know her name? Tell us, because me and Dits don't know how to do it.
My two lads have told me this in the past, Flack, that I saw this happen to my son once, years ago. We were out and then later on his phone went. He said, that's that girl that was just in the bank. She's just messaged me.
It's called sliding into your DMs.
What?
That's the come on, come on. There's a whole other chat, boys.
Yeah, no, but help us out here, please.
That's what Josh means when you track down someone on Instagram.
But how do you do it if you don't know their name?
Yeah.
To Adelaide, though, it's small. Everyone knows everyone. You're eventually going to work them out.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a good thing about Adelaide.
Right.
Yeah. So you guys are really good at stalking.
Yeah.
Is that, it's sort of a form of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
On Facebook, right, so or whatever.
Your girlfriend, how do you remember the first conversation? At some stage you had to ask her out, didn't you?
Yes, I did, but I didn't know if she was into me or not.
Mm. So you're a bit like Dits.
Mm. Absolutely. I'm not blessed with, you know, amazing
looks. I didn't mean
looks.
It like that.
Oh, no, not like that. Sorry,
I think you did.
Sorry, Dits.
No, I didn't. No. I meant you had to know she was
right, like,
sure.
I know. I knew what he meant.
Look, if I looked like nails,
you got low
I would walk up to everyone.
That's right.
But unless I have a few beers and then I get the confidence of Prince Harry. Other than that, no, there is no way in hell I'd
see,
walk up to
all you
a woman.
Girls listening this morning, see how hard it is for us blokes? Honestly. Oh. Nails, did you ask your wife out?
So we actually met on Tinder. So
no, you dirty bugger.
So yeah, she swiped left, did she? Or is it right? How do you...
Right.
She swiped right.
It was a little while. It was about 5 years ago now. But,
oh, that's right. Yes. You were doing it on the big screen with your mates.
Yeah, had it up on the big screen. And we both matched.
She looks all right.
The first time we saw each other, we went for a little beach walk, boys. So that was, that was our first date. So,
you are soppy. You are soppy.
Straight to the beach.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So it doesn't happen often.
No.
So that bloke who did it to Alice.
Courageous.
Courageous.
And he got shut down in his prime.
Yep.
I feel so sorry for him. So sorry. He's in his room, now in the corner
he's
of the bed.
Still bedroom. Sucking his thumb.
Yeah, he is. Fetus position. Mm. All right. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Ruined it here on Triple M. Now, Roo, just tell me if I've got this right. We're about to talk to an Adelaide fella. He lives in New York.
Yep.
He sells tequila for a living.
Mm.
And he's going out with a Brazilian model.
Have
I got all that right?
Yeah. He also had coronavirus.
Wow.
He knows our boss, James Pedersen, so be careful.
Okay.
And he's there, living right in the heart of where the issues are in America.
We can make a movie about this fella.
We might have a movie one day. Let's see how he goes on Triple M first. Trent Fraser, good morning.
Oh, good morning, boys. Hello. Interesting introduction.
Yeah, you're on Triple M now. It's a bit different than New York. 6:15 over there at night. Tell us, how does it feel to be in New York right now?
Well, we're actually Wednesday. We're a little bit behind. So you're probably having your first or second coffee and I'm about to have my first beer. But look, I've been here quite a while. So it's the first time in my 17 or 18 years here. It just feels very strange and weird. It's the atmosphere is just super unsettling. It's not the place that you guys, I'm sure you've been here, that we all love. It's the vibrancy, the energy, the hustle and bustle. It's not really that. It's more unrecognisable, and it's a real uneasiness about it.
Now, I think I'm right in saying that in an hour or so from now, you go into curfew, into lockdown. Please explain that to us. What does it mean, and how does it operate?
Yeah, so it's mandatory. So they started it a couple of nights ago. It was 11, and they've moved it up until 8, and you've probably seen all over the TV screen as to why they did that. In the daytime, the protests which are great, like a sense of solidarity and peace. But as it moves into night and more late night, it just turns into complete anarchy and carnage. I mean, the looting and the smoke, the fires, the shops. I mean, the helicopters buzzing around. It's complete chaos. So I think they're trying to move it up. There's been a little bit of an improvement in the last day, and also the news just a few hours ago. But it was really, really savage late in the evening in places like the West Village or Soho, and in Midtown. It was just complete anarchy.
So all the shops downstairs from where you are they all smashed?
Yeah, a lot of them are. Most of them today. I took a bike ride the other day because the days are actually not too bad, and took a look around, and most of them were smashed. By the afternoon, everything is pretty much boarded up. So you can't really get to it. Even some of like the department stores, like Neiman Marcus, even have barbed wire on the top of them. So it's very, very bizarre. It's like a movie out of the 90s or something like that. So yeah, you can. It's very, very present.
Trent, you grew up in Adelaide and spent, the first half of your life here. You've been there for 17 years, do you feel there is a culture issue or a country issue about how they train police, how the police carry out their job over there? Is that what the issue is in terms of how they handle black Americans?
I think there's a lot of things, and that's certainly a part of it. There is obviously this real systemic racial issue that's been, bubbling for a very long time. The George Floyd murder was just really the tipping point. There was also, people before that. There was a young runner in Georgia that got gunned down. There was other instances. 40, 50 million people out of work, this pandemic, it was just really the perfect storm for this just to go completely off the rails. And, it's tough on both sides. There is a massive racial issue that they haven't dealt with for a long time. It's so, so divided. The current administration is not helping that at all. And it's probably getting worse. So I think there is a lack of education and training, but I think there's much deeper rooted problems.
We know everyone keeps saying coronavirus is going to make us reset sort of financially and with our jobs and our future, but surely this incident will make the police forces in every state in America reset as well. When it comes to arresting someone, you would like to think, Trent, they're going to have a second thought about how aggressive they are and how they go about arresting and apprehending someone, surely.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And I mean, it's amazing to see, actually Obama talked only about an hour ago, and listening to him talk, and he referenced, what happened in the 60s with Martin Luther King is a very different time and protest. You see a lot of peaceful protests from all sorts of different walks of life together. And the role also of social media and technology that's played. If this wasn't captured on an iPhone, maybe this would have been swept under the carpet and they would have moved on to the next one. So there's a real role of accountability as well because of technology that's taking place. So from that perspective, I'm not always the biggest lover of social, but in this instance, it's keeping people accountable as well.
Just on that, the three police that were involved, that watched on with the death of George Floyd have been charged as well with aiding and abetting murder, and the charge has been upgraded too, and the police officer that had the knee on the neck. So that's good news, I think.
Trent, thanks for a great insight, mate, into living in the United States and New York, and also personally, well done on your career over there. I've read up on it a bit about you and over the last couple of days, and mate, you've done an outstanding job. Well done, and keep up the great work.
No, thank you very much. I look forward to getting back in and sharing a few with you all.
Good on you. Trent Fraser, and we're good friends with his brother here in Adelaide, aren't we, Roo?
And Trent had coronavirus as well, but hardly felt that he had it.
Yeah. Running a major distillery company over there in the United States.
Sells tequila.
Have a bit of fun selling that, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would go to a few parties.
Be like Simon at the pool table. You'd have a little lock-in every now and then, I think.
7:53 ruined. It's on Triple M.
0488851047 on Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Text.
It's time for Text of the Week.
Now we're going to give away this prize, Roo, which is
a double to go to the Adelaide Oval roof climb and a couple of nights up at the Harndorff Resort in Harndorff.
Yeah, beautiful. What a good price. Dits. This is a great price.
And you've got your Harndorff footy club top on. Have you come straight from the footy club this morning?
No, no, no. Just
you had the hat on. You had the shirt on.
Just supporting the locals. Because, see, all of this is streamed now, so I thought I'd give them a go on the streaming. Get the club out there.
So you're doing a bit of sort of promoting.
Promoting, that's the word, because hopefully the footy season will start soon.
All right. Well, we've had a few good texts this week. We've had hundreds of good texts, in fact, but here's a few of them.
Matthew from Emerston Park has just texted Roo. With you just reading out those restrictions, he said, Dits, does that mean that Helen is now back open? He went to the Gladstone drive-in years ago, went to the canteen, and when he came back, his mates had shifted his car. To the Roo, Dits and Alice show. If someone brings gold every time they contribute, cash in. More Alice, it says, with exclamation marks.
Becoming a
Alice
game.
Is your rudder. This is from
rudder?
Gaz.
That was just a very, very small snapshot, Dits, but there was one that stood out, and that is the text of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, it was the very first text we received, actually. Here it is.
Positive?
The funny thing, the first text the Triple M line ever got...
What was it?
..is a message that says, on your dickhead.
That's how far our listeners
are. A guy called Stephen.
Come on, Steve.
All right, we've got him on the line. Stephen from Aberfoyle Park. Very creative stuff. Good morning, Stephen.
On your dickhead.
Hey! Takes one to know one, Steve.
Yeah, it sure does, mate.
Good on you. How did you think of it?
Oh, it's just a more friendly way of saying good day, I reckon.
Yeah, that's how we took it, Steve.
Yep, no worries. All right, what do you do, Steve?
Oh, jib rocking, mate.
Good on you. Plenty of work. Oh, you'd be loving this new stimulus package for the home renos, mate. You'll be able to put your prices up and make heaps.
Yeah, she's been helping out.
Yep.
One of the lucky ones at the moment.
No, good on you. Yeah, plenty of work out there?
Yeah, plenty, mate.
Good.
All right, well, for that very creative text, on your dickheads, you are our winner, Steve.
Yeah, beautiful.
Tells you a lot about our show, I reckon. So stay on the line. We've got the ultimate SA weekend for you. You'll be going up to the Harndorff Big Four Resort and the roof climb at Adelaide Oval.
Cracking. Keep the texts coming on 0488 51047. We've got a big hour coming
up. That's all you've got to beat.
Exactly right. Mick Malloy's going to join us this hour, as well as Rudy Vanderstone. And we've got another band in the greatest of all time.
Roo, you said earlier your favourite footy show's on TV tonight. My favourite show, full stop, is back on TV tonight.
Yeah, we're talking about the front bar. And before we get to Mick Malloy, we might just play a little bit of audio.
Well, hang on. Let me just preface this. He was talking recently on Kennedy Malloy about, you know, how Adelaide's the safest place in the world because we've shut down coronavirus. But he had a couple of examples of where it's actually not that safe here.
The safe place in the world to wait out the coronavirus pandemic is in South Australia. That said, there are a number of other things that can get you in Adelaide. Well, the bouncers at the Crazy Horse. I'll get you. I'll tell you when I didn't feel entirely safe. That would be leaving Footy Park in my car that had Victorian number plates.
What happened?
It was set on fire. It was set on fire, as is the tradition over there.
Well, he'd be pleased to know we've closed Footy Park down. Let's get him on. Mick, good morning.
And you know the crazy thing? What? You won!
That's how we celebrate.
You were sure winners.
We're like the looters in the US, Mick. We're crazy.
That is a true story, seriously. I went out. Footy Park used to be like going and sitting out there with a cast of the Tiger King. There was horrendous. Bullets everywhere there was.
Bit like the front bar when you get a bit out of control with Sam Pang and Andy Marr and... your new superstar in 2020, Andy Lee.
He'll be rotating off the bench from time to time, coming in and filling the posse. It's all about rotations this year. we're good to go. Can't wait to come back, mate. I tell you what, though, the lockdown hasn't been kind to me. I might have to let the flannies out a couple of sizes.
Oh, really?
I think. I went to play golf the other day and I couldn't fit into my golf pants. I had to buy a new pair. I was shopping in the John Daly section. I'm not joking.
I hope they're as colourful as John's as well. Hey,
they come with inbuilt packet of cigarettes in those or not?
Yeah, that's right. Do you know I played golf? I played golf with John Daly once.
Really?
The true story, I outdrove him off the tee.
No. What do you have, an airy?
Well, No, it was a par three, and I was 30 metres out the back. But it was still, technically, I outdrove
you
him
did.
Off the tee.
How did the 19th go?
Well, that's still in dispute. That got very ugly. That did, so.
Now, last time I saw you on the front bar, we haven't seen you on TV for a little while. You had the roof painted. You had your hair coloured. Is it growing out yet?
No, I've still got it because it was all about a bet involving my hair. If Richmond wanted to go to foil, I would get the Marbio Choll haircut, which looks great on a 6'4" chiseled black as the ace of spades kind of Sudanese god.
Dennis Rodman or someone.
Yeah, not quite as impressive on a middle-aged alcoholic from Frankston. I've still got it, yeah.
Couldn't you get a decent guest on tonight? You only got Gil McLaughlin.
Gil McLaughlin. What happened to the beard, Gil? Bring back the beard, Gil.
And his jacket.
I'm going to ask him all the hard questions. Daisy Thomas, he should be good too.
Yeah, he's a bit loose.
He's a good fellow. We'll ask him. He'll know a bit about playing for the Pies. We'll ask a lot of questions there. Can't wait.
All right, 8:45 tonight on Channel 7, the front bar with Mick Molloy and all the team, Sam Pang, Andy Marb. We're looking forward to it, Mick. Thanks for joining
us. Good on you, lads. Thanks for your support, as always.
It is the best show on TV.
It is the best footy show on TV for a laugh. There's no doubt about it. I see Channel 7 have chopped a couple of others, though, Dits. They've got rid of Monday Night, Talking Footy.
Have they?
That was a good show. That went up against On the Couch on Fox. And then they also, I reckon they got rid of the Sunday morning show as well.
Oh, really? Mm. All right. So cost-cutting measures.
That's a bit sad, isn't it?
All right.
But the front bar survived, and so it should.
Ruined It's on Triple M thanks to Adelaide Tools. We'll get the GOAT up next. Who's next on the list? 8:49 here on Triple M. Rue, time for the GOAT, the next announcement. But just to quickly give us a wrap-up, go back to number 20 for us. Who have we had?
Yeah, we're going to do the GOAT in the next segment, though, just so you know. We're just giving them a little hook now. We had In Excess at 20. We love In Excess.
Right.
Then we had the crazy dancer, Peter Garrett, with Midnight Oil. Should have stayed singing instead of going into politics and went to Green Day. Then we had Elton John, whose real name is Reggie. Car crashes all over Australia when Jimmy Barnes come out at 16.
Yeah. Enjoying Rue's editorial on all of these.
People that are still alive and still got their brains that love Nirvana at 15. Frustration and anger when Cold Chisel come out at 14. And you can go and get stuff when Guns N' Roses come out at 13. I couldn't believe it.
Okay, we're down to number 12. We'll tell you who it is right after this. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Now. Like a Sherpa lost in the mountains.
High on a hill was a lonely goat.
We're on a journey to find the goat. You helped us build the list. Now we're counting them down each day. From 20. Not bad. To number one. Get your goat on with goat soap at Chemist Warehouse. Triple M's Goat.
Now, any discerning listener would have heard during that ad break a promo that gave it away. Well, but
we said we were going to tell you next.
And we did.
Yeah, in the promo.
Inadvertently. Let's get to number 12.
In the late 70s, the neighbourhoods and back alleys of Ireland were a dark and dangerous place.
A lot of my early memories of teenage years were of violence.
Tanks, terrorists and armed forces roamed the streets, and so did Ireland's kids.
I lived on a really nice street, but they began to build the Seven Towers, and they became the kind of projects of North County Dublin. This were the people that we would meet as young teenagers.
They grew up in a world that would set them on a path for life like no other.
When you're a kid, as well as the violence from the tough neighborhoods, we were responding to the violence that was interior, domestic violence.
One group of Dublin misfits went on to become one of the biggest bands in the world. Over 170 million albums sold, one of the highest selling bands of all time. And they've become famous for concert tours like you've never seen. They're always reinventing themselves with shows that could only be described as epic.
You
too. U2's Zoo TV tour was revolutionary.
Utmost in our mind is changing the world.
It was a world tour off the release of Achtung Baby. For the first time, a band embraced TV and satellite link-ups at a concert.
We've always had this idea that rock and roll can change the world, even if it's just changing the temperature of your bedroom.
The tour included massive concerts around Australia.
It looks really great, and it wouldn't be the tour if we didn't go to Australia.
You were acting like it was the end of the world. It was the first time we saw Bono's different characters on stage. Like the fly, for which he wore oversized sunglasses, leather pants and jacket.
It's really hard to be great, and it's very humbling to discover that you're not great naturally.
There was also Mirrorball Man and Mephisto, who was a parody of the devil in a gold bodysuit.
I get to play out that side of myself that probably wants to be a rock and roll star.
To love songs from the heart.
I think we're probably a better example as a band than as musicians. We all help each other sound great. One life, but we're not the same. We're just always going to be that band that overreaches. That is the reason why we make music. We want it to count.
There's no other band like U2.
Well, pretty good, Dits. Pretty good, U2. You know the best thing about U2 coming in at 12?
What's that?
You can tell us the Bono joke.
No.
Come on.
Play the song. Play the song. So Bono's up on stage because you know he's about every cause in the world there's ever been.
Don't.
And he's going, his hands are high up. You're laughing already. His hands are way up over his head. He's going, every time I clap, another baby dies in Africa. And a bloke yelled out, well, stop effing clapping then.
Look, to our listeners,
I had nothing to do with
no,
that.
No, you didn't,
right?
Dits.
Actually, I've got a new favourite line from him that was just in that little montage.
What was it?
It's hard to be great, but it's humbling to know it doesn't come easily.
Oh.
How humble.
Stop
hey?
Clapping
how
at
humble.
That.
How
stop
humble.
Clapping. All right, Dits, so you don't like him.
Ruined Dits might be over for the day, but the sales at Adelaide Tools have only just begun. They're now all over Adelaide in five locations: Mile End, Paraka, St Mary's, Lonsdale, and Gawler.